Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 18. Lord Balaram slays the demon Pralamba. Text number 18. Tam Tang Vidvan Apidarsaro. Bhagavan Sarvadarsinaha. Anvamo Tatatat Sakyang. Vodhang Tasya Vachintayan. Lord Krishna, who had appeared in the Dasarha dynasty, sees everything. He understood who the demon was. Still, the Lord pretended to accept the demon as a friend, while at the same time seriously considering how to kill him. No purport, so we'll go to 19. Tatropahuya Gopalan Krishna Praha Viharatvit. He Gopa Viharis Yamo Dhanvi Bhaya Bhaya Yata Yatam. Translation and purport. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the cowherd boys and spoke as follows. Quote, "Hey, cowherd boys, let's play now. We'll divide ourselves into two even teams." Unquote. Purport. The word yata yatam means that Krishna naturally wanted the two teams to be evenly matched so that there would be a good game. In addition to the pleasure of sporting, the purpose of the game was to kill the demon Pralamba. So in this 18th verse, it's mentioned Sarva Darshinaha, that Krishna, he is the seer of everything. He sees everything. When Srila Prabhupada was in college, one of the professors, he said, "You Hindus, you have this karma, this idea of karma, that you get a reaction for what you do. But how is this? Who's the witness? Who's the witness that declares that someone gets a certain reaction and someone doesn't?" So Prabhupada was in the class and he was shy. Professors are, you know, back then they were pretty dominant. So he didn't say anything. But he knew that the super soul is in the heart of everyone. So he knows. Upadrastana mantacha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramat maiti chapyo dehesmim purushapara. Krishna says within this body there's another transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, who is the supreme proprietor. He's the overseer and permitter. So Krishna sees everything. There's no secrets. We may think that we're doing something and no one knows. But no, Krishna knows. Like there was this interesting pastime, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One of the grihastha devotees in the community went to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he said, "You know, the brahmacharis are all right here in the mat and they have so much hearing and chanting and your association, but I don't see them rising. I don't see them rising in their advancement in Krishna consciousness." And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, "This is because they have intestinal worms." What does that mean? So he said, just like if you eat and you have worms in your body, then they eat everything, you don't get any nutrition. Yeah? So if someone is practicing Krishna consciousness, but they have these two intestinal worms. One, secret activities. Secret. You think that he's doing something, no one knows, but secrets, secret bad habits. And the other one is selfishness. He said these are the two intestinal worms, secret bad habits and selfishness. And this was, we're talking about the 1930s. You know, there was no computers, there was no, I don't think there was even movies back then. But even back then, he said, secret bad habits. Now, there's so much opportunity for secret bad habits with all the internet and, you know, probably one of the worst things that ever happened to the planet is the internet. But of course, we're using it so much in Krishna service, so they're doing some seva also. But there's a lot of maya, lots of maya. Therefore, here in the community, Facebook is not allowed. Or what is it? YouTube, right? YouTube is not allowed. Just to, they can completely avoid all that maya. Too much. And this is the most attractive feature now. And the internet is Facebook. And what is it? Practically all just prajalpa. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. And this is about 1972. And there was, technology was just beginning. So they had some way that they could communicate with New York Temple immediately and get a response. They would type a message and they could immediately respond. I forgot what it's called. Anybody remember? Huh? Telex. So this is just the beginning of the high tech, right? Of course, now it's dinosaur. So Prabhupada said, all right, let's see. So they wrote a message to New York. No response. And so he said, well, we'll try it again, Prabhupada. Wrote another letter. Please respond. No response. Then they figured out. They don't know Prabhupada's here. So they wrote another letter. Prabhupada's standing right next to us. Please respond. Immediately responded. Jai Srila Prabhupada, we're very, very much looking forward to your association here in New York in 1 week. And then Prabhupada was pleased. All right, good. But then the devotee said, Prabhupada, should we implement this in ISKCON? And Prabhupada said, no, because you'll simply talk prajalpa. So I don't know what Prabhupada would say about Facebook. I'm sure he wouldn't have too many good things to say about it. Sometimes devotees are spending hours on Facebook. I've heard of one devotee, 8 hours in a day. My God. So, not good. So, we have to utilize our time properly. Then, see, Krishna here, he's Sarva Darshana. He sees everything. So we're very limited about what we can see. It's like a couple days ago, or was it, no, yesterday, I was just sitting right over there, and Brajabihari Prabhu was giving class here, and I asked the devotee next to him, hey, who's giving class? I couldn't recognize. I know him well, you know, Brajabihari. I said, oh, Brajabihari is giving class. Wow. Couldn't even, just from this right here, I couldn't see. My eyes are so limited. Even when I got my glasses on, I thought they were good. I couldn't see. So our eyes are very, very limited. And still, sometimes people demand, show me God. There's a God, show me God. It's a common thing. Atheists. Oh, yeah? There's a God, show me. Read on Undermars, he gives a nice example. He said, if you want to understand something superior to you, you can't demand. If you want to understand something inferior to you, you can manipulate it. You know, you could put some germ in a microscope and you could, you know, play with it however you like. You know, it's inferior. When you have a dog or a kid or inferior, you can manipulate. But when we're talking about superior things, you can't demand. Just like we have this big problem in India, throughout the world, millions of cows are being killed here in India. So we can't demand. I want to see the Prime Minister right now. It's a problem here, and it's just ridiculous, and we got to straighten it out. You know? We can't do that, you know? Because he's materially, he's superior. So we can't demand. Now, if we were to go into the whole political scene, you know, and gradually work our way up and, you know, get close to the Prime Minister, you know, but you have to submit yourself. You got to go through it's a whole rigmarole that you have to go through to get in a position where you can even speak to the Prime Minister where he'll listen to you, right? Because he's superior, you're inferior. Yeah. So, what to speak of God? Who's more superior to God? So you demand, I want to see God. God is not so cheap. You can just demand and God's going to show himself. No, it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. But if we please God, Atashi Krishnamadi Nabhaved Grahamindra Sevan Mukhya Jivana Svayameva Sprachita, that one cannot understand Krishna with one's blunt material senses. But when Krishna becomes pleased with our devotional service, then he reveals himself. So we have to submit to God. And that's what we're doing. That's what this whole process is about. We're submitting every day. We're paying obeisances to Krishna. We're praying to Krishna, please, Krishna, purify my heart so that I can serve you, so that I could see you, so I could understand you. So this is how to understand God, not demanding. And then Krishna, you know, hopefully he'll be pleased with us and reveal himself more and more according to our surrender. I'll give you a nice example of this, of how if we please the superior, then we get mercy. We're going back to the early 1980s, maybe late 70s. In Gainesville, Florida, we have a very nice preaching center. And there is a huge university right next to the preaching center, 50,000 students, huge. So every Friday, the devotees, they have a Harinam right next to the university. Maybe 25 devotees. Nice, fired up Harinam. Not as fired up as you guys just had this kirtan. I must say that was a fired up kirtan. That was nice, wasn't it? So kirtan is so nice. So they were having this Harinam. And this particular time that I'm speaking about was the time when President Reagan was campaigning to be the president. So as you know, there's a lot of people that are voting for him, also, and they're campaigning for him. You know, people are, you know, doing all the different things that they do to get him to be voted the next president. So one person drove by this Harinam, fired up Harinam. So he was voting for Reagan. So he had a sign about this big, vote for Reagan. So he was driving by the Harinam. He said, wow, these guys are fired up. That's enthusiasm. So he pulled over his car. He got his sign. He jumped right in the middle of the Harinam, and he's bouncing up and down, dancing with the devotees, vote for Reagan. Yeah. So people were driving by. Oh, I didn't know the Hare Krishnas are voting for Reagan. Yeah. So then one newspaper reporter, he drove by. He said, oh, look at that. The Hare Krishnas are voting for Reagan. So he took a picture. Yeah. Next day, front page. Vote for Reagan with all the devotees. Yeah. So a couple days later, Reagan became the president, right? Yeah. Krishna's mercy, right? Maybe a little help from Krishna there. So a few days later, somehow, someone got this newspaper clip of this person there with the sign, and he put it on on the presidential desk in the White House. And Reagan, when he saw that picture, said, oh, look at that. You guys are pretty enthusiastic. pretty fired up. He told his Secret Service men, go down to Florida, fly down there, find this guy, send him up. I want to have lunch with him in 2 days. So they flew down. They found the guy. They flew him up. He had lunch with the president. Now, to have lunch with the president of the United States, that's not easy. Yeah. Not easy. But somehow, he pleased the superior, the president. So he got the mercy, right? He got the presidential mercy. So, similarly, if we glorify Krishna, just like in this nice kirtan that we have, or we distribute books, then Krishna is pleased. We chant his names, we preach his glories, just like you have so much nice college preaching going on here in Mumbai. Krishna is very pleased. So Harinam, preaching, book distribution, these are all very, very pleasing to Krishna. And if we do these things regularly, then Krishna becomes pleased. And what happens? At the end of this life, Krishna sees, oh, he was glorifying me throughout his life. All right, come on, come back home. And we could have lunch with Krishna. Better than having lunch with the with President Reagan. Imagine the prasadam in Goloka Vrindavan. Special. So we have to somehow please Krishna. And then Krishna reveals himself. Premanjana Choyata Bhakti Alochanena Santaksadaiva Hridaye Sivalokayanti Yang Syama Sundama Chintya Gunaswarupam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the primal Lord Govinda, who was always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed by the Pope of Love. He is always seen in his form of Syama Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. So this is an interesting verse, because here it says the devotee sees Syama Sundar in the heart. We all understand super soul is in the heart. But actually, when you become a pure devotee, it switches. Because, I don't know, maybe you know or you don't, but in the spiritual world, there's no super soul. There's no super soul in the spiritual world. Only when we leave the spiritual world, then the super soul accompanies the conditioned soul. But when you're a pure devotee, then Syama Sundar, Krishna, is in the heart. Because you made it. You're there. You're with Krishna. The super soul is there for the conditioned souls to encourage them. If there's some sign of spiritual desire, then he makes arrangements. So, interesting. So here also, whatever we do, Krishna sees, right? Sarva darshana. So Krishna, he's got, I was just listening to a lecture, Prabhupada said that Krishna, he has an account book. He has an account book. And whatever we do, it's being written down. The account is being written down. There's another account book, that's Yamaraja's, right? Chandragupta, right? So Krishna's got his account book for the devotees. Whatever we do, just like right now, we're hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we get a check there in the account book. Yeah? Krishna likes that. We're chanting rounds, another check. We're getting darshan of the deities, another, taking prasadam. So every day, we're increasing our transcendental bank account. Just got to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Krishna becomes more and more pleased. And then he reveals himself more and more. Yeah. Now previously, we weren't in Krishna's account book. We were in Chandragupta's. Right? By the mercy of Prabhupada, you know, we're not in that account book anymore. So what happens when you become a devotee, Chandragupta, he throws it away. He throws that away. And then Krishna starts taking account. So we want to keep increasing that transcendental bank account. And be careful. If we become sinful again, then Chandragupta again, he pulls out that file again. Whoop, look at that. All right, continue. So we have to be very careful. Srila Prabhupada, he said that we have two diseases. One, we are not enough afraid of Maya, and two, we like to change things. So we have to have a very firm fear of Maya. Maya is very powerful. And we're in Maya's kingdom. So much opportunity for material sense gratification in Maya's kingdom. So we have to be very careful. Like Prabhupada said, it's like a razor's edge. If you're shaving and you're a little inattentive, then you click, you nick yourself. Yeah. So we have to be very careful. So we could stay focused on this desire to serve Krishna. So another thing here, in the second verse, it's stated, Vihara Vit, that Krishna, he is the knower of all sports. Krishna likes sports. Yeah. Now in our Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada said that we should avoid frivolous sports. There was one devotee, he was doing some sport, and another devotee said, Prabhu, Prabhupada said we shouldn't engage in any frivolous sports. And the devotee said, this is not frivolous, this is very serious. No, but there's a reason why Prabhupada said we shouldn't engage in these sports, frivolous sports. Four reasons. One is it's dangerous, first. I know many devotees that got hurt playing sports. The most extreme was the temple president in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. Very nice devotee, about 35 years old. I think he was playing volleyball, some sport, soccer or volleyball, some. And he got exhausted and left his body right there on the field. Passed away. A big loss for the community because he was the president and very, very nice devotee. So that's the extreme result of frivolous sports. You leave your body. It's far out. Another time there was some devotees that were wrestling in Europe, Germany, I think. One devotee, his arm broke, book distributor. So he couldn't distribute books for 6 months. Yeah. Another time there was some devotees that were playing football, American football. And one devotee, he went for the ball, and he caught it, but he landed on his head, had to go to the hospital, so many stitches. So it's dangerous, frivolous sports. So therefore we avoid engaging in any sports. Here you do nice, many devotees here, they do yoga exercises. It's good. And here you dance very enthusiastically. That's also very healthy. Prabhupada, what would Prabhupada do? Morning walks every morning. Very good. Also, I also do some morning walks. It's good. Stay healthy. So we can be healthy without... Sometimes they say, well, it's good for the health, you know, do some sport. But not necessary. Yoga, walking, these things are good. You know? So it's dangerous. It's also a waste of time. Time is very valuable. Chanaka Pandit said, "You cannot buy back one moment of time with all the wealth in the world. Time is so valuable. So it's a way of wasting time." Prabhupada said, "You have spare time, then read. Chant. Yeah. This is how we should utilize our time. And be very careful." Yeah. Another thing is that generally these sports, they bring out passion, a lot of passion, become very passionate, competitive. and just brings out passion and ignorance. You know? We're trying to develop the mode of goodness. So this sporting activity, because we're still conditioned, so you become very competitive and the passion comes out. It's just not very conducive for our advancement in spiritual life. So these are some of the reasons why we don't engage in frivolous sports. But there are sports that are bona fide, but not in this world. Spiritual world. It says here that he's the knower of all sports. So Krishna likes sports. You know? So many sports are there in the spiritual world. When Krishna was here also, he was wrestling with the cowherd boys. He would wrestle and they would get different types of fruits and they would use them as balls and they would play different sports. Yeah. And Krishna wrestled with and Balaram, Chandor and Mushtika. Yeah, so they were very good wrestlers. These guys were big. Big guys. We would all be completely intimidated. We wouldn't want to be, you know, whoa, I don't think so. But Krishna and Balaram, they were very expert wrestlers, very strong also, so they defeated them. So Krishna, he says, he's the knower of all sports. So there's so many sports. It's like all the sports that we have here in this world, they're all a perverted reflection of the sports in the spiritual world. And just like there's hundreds of different sports here in this world, so you can imagine there's so many different sports in the spiritual world. Probably thousands and thousands, unlimited sports. Yeah. Because Krishna likes to play with his cowherd boys, so many. And who knows? Maybe there's even cricket. Yeah, maybe. For those of you that like cricket, you know, you might have something to look forward to in the spiritual world. So there's so many sports are there that we can engage in the spiritual world. And then it's bona fide because Krishna's on the field. And all the people that are playing sports in the spiritual world, they're all just trying to please Krishna. Yeah. They're not doing it for their own sense gratification. Here it's all about sense gratification. But in the spiritual world, it's all about trying to please the senses of Krishna. So not only is he, and of course, he would be the best at playing any sport. It's like if Krishna were to play cricket, he would be the best. No one would defeat him. And he wouldn't even need a team. He would beat every team on the planet by himself. And no one else would score. Only Krishna. He's so good. So he's the best at everything. He's also, it's described that he's the best dancer, Vrindavana Natavara. He's the best dancer of Vrindavan. But he's also Sarvaloka Vrindavana, Sarvaloka Natavara, that he's the best dancer in all the universes. Krishna's a very good dancer. There's so much dancing going on this planet for their sense gratification. But as Radhana Swami pointed out, when they're dancing for their sense gratification, the soul is crying. But when we dance for Krishna, then the soul is very happy. So dancing for Krishna is very good, very auspicious. Sporting for Krishna also, very auspicious for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever we do, all that we do, all that we eat, all that we offer and give away. Yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat juhosi didasi, yat tapasyasti kaunti, tat kuru svabhanarpana. All that we do, all that we eat and offer, everything that we do should be done as an offering to Krishna. So this is pleasing. And this is the goal. We want to please Krishna. So he's the best dancer. He's also the best musician. He plays the flute so nicely. Yeah. So everything about Krishna is very, very attractive. Yeah. Because he's the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in one purport, the greatness of Krishna is seen most fully when he becomes subordinate to his devotee. this is where Krishna becomes most manifest, fully, when he becomes subordinate to his devotee. Prabhupada was speaking about this, and he said, just like there's one instance of the Prime Minister in England, he was supposed to have a meeting with another big personality from another country. The schedule was made, so he was there on time, and the secretary said, well, just wait a while. And he's waiting for like over an hour. So then he's like, what's going on? So he opened the door, just peeked in, and the Prime Minister, he's on his fours, hands and knees, and his grandchild is on top, and he's telling the grandfather, come on, go faster, go faster. So here's the Prime Minister. Yeah. But he's taking more pleasure in playing horsey for his grandson than having some political meeting. So this is a higher pleasure. So Krishna's higher pleasure is when he's chastised. Mother Yasoda sometimes chastises Krishna or Nanda Maharaj or the gopis. So this brings great pleasure to Krishna to be chastised by his devotees. So another point here is that Krishna, he is very intelligent. By one action, many purposes are fulfilled. So he wanted to play with the cowherd boys. And he also wanted to kill this demon. So both were there. He played with the cowherd boys, had a nice time, and Palambasura was killed. So Krishna is very, very intelligent. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Kaving pranam anushasataram anor anayangsan anusmridya sarvashidataram achintirupam adityavarnam tamasa parastat. That Krishna, he knows everything. There's nothing that Krishna doesn't know. Very intelligent. Vedaham samatityani vartamanani charjan. He knows everything that's happened in the past. Everything that's to happen in the future. And everything that is now happening. But Krishna goes on to say, but me, nobody knows. So this is God. Very, very, very intelligent. One time Prabhupada was in his quarters. I think it was Mayapur. And one person came in. And he said, I am God. You don't say that to Prabhupada. So he said, okay, let's find out the definition of God. So he told the one devotee, bring a dictionary. God, the supreme being. Okay, now let's look up supreme. Looks up supreme. Supreme means the highest authority. So he looked at the man and he said, so you're the highest authority in the universe? And the man just put his head down. Completely smashed. Couldn't say a word. So, Prabhupada's very expert. One time he was in Ireland, and it was a big gathering of people, just local people there in Ireland, hundreds of people, devotees arranged. So, Prabhupada gave the lecture. And then one man, dressed kind of awkwardly, kind of like a character there in the city, he stood up and he said the same thing. I'm God. Prabhupada didn't say anything for a while. Then Prabhupada, after a few moments, he in the microphone, he said, you're not God. You're dog. And everybody in the auditorium just stood up and started clapping. And Prabhupada was amazed that they were so appreciative, you know, this guy being smashed. You know? So I remember I was distributing books one time. And again, same thing. I said, so what kind of work do you do, sir? He said, well, I'm God. That's a big position you got there, yeah? I said, well, one of the characteristics of God is that he's omniscient. Can you tell me what I'm thinking right now? He said, yes, you're thinking I'm a rascal. I said, sir, that's good, you're right. But I was also thinking of a number. Can you tell me that? No. So there's so much cheating. What did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur say? This is the land of the cheaters and the cheated. Yeah. Some people want to be cheated. Some people want to cheat. I was just recently in Ujjain, and I was giving Bhagavatam class. And one person came in, big crown, blue paint on, carrying a flute. And I'm thinking, boy, it never stops. So he's thinking he's Krishna. He's even got a following. I asked the devotees, yeah, there's people following him. They think he's Krishna. It's amazing, huh? Prabhupada said there's so many countries that are doing export business. But India also has their export business. And what is it? Every few months, there's another god. Yeah? Another god. Yeah. So that's very unfortunate. And even though Lord Chaitanya, he's God, anybody said that he was the supreme or he was God, he would plug his ears. Because, you know, in Kali Yuga, everybody's thinking that they're God. So even though he made it clear to everyone, listen, I'm a devotee, I'm not God. Still, so many gods are coming up. So it didn't work. Of course, many knew. Many could see that Lord Chaitanya was God. But many couldn't. Just like when Krishna was here. Krishna was seen by just a few as God. But very, very few understood that Krishna is God. Even though he was right there, they were seeing him. They were even criticizing him. So many were criticizing. He had to kill so many demons. So it's not that just by seeing God, seeing Krishna, you'll understand this is Krishna. Interesting. Millions of people couldn't understand, just like in the Battle of Kurukshetra. How many soldiers were there? It said 600 million. It's in the Bhagavatam, purport. That's a big battle. That's a big battle. But how many can understand that Krishna was God? They were shooting arrows at him, trying to kill him. They were seeing him, trying to kill him. So we're trying to see Krishna. We're trying to serve him. Because he's the supreme. And very intelligent. There's one other thing I wanted to mention about Krishna's intelligence. Many things are performed by one action, just like this battle of Kurukshetra. So many purposes were fulfilled by this. First of all, so many demons were killed. Paritanaya sadhanang vinasayati duskram. He comes to annihilate the demons. So many demons were killed. Also, Yudhisthira became the king. And great faith was created in many devotees. Just like before the battle, Krishna went to Queen Kunti and he said, mark my words that none of your sons will be hurt. And sure enough, not one of her sons were hurt. And there were some of the very few that survived. Just a few survived out of the whole 600 million. Anybody know how many survived? Ashwatthama, he was one, but he got some big reactions for his nonsense. And then, anyway, there's a few others, not many, survived. Most died. So when Kunti, Queen Kunti, saw that none of her sons were harmed and so many millions were killed, she said to Krishna, Krishna, the sun may stop shining, the moon may stop shining, but your word will always be true. She was so amazed that none of her sons were hurt, although millions were killed. So Krishna protects his devotee. So this verse, Kaving Pranam, actually, this is the verse, probably, Krishna says, this is how one should think of him, as he who is the most intelligent, that he is the supreme controller. Nothing moves without the sanction of Krishna. So we're also controllers. Controller means also God. So we're also God, but little g, very small g. And then Krishna, he's the supreme, big G. He's the supreme. Parameshvara, he's the supreme controller. And he does well. He does good at what he's doing, how he's controlling everything. There's one book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Some of you may have heard of this. Why Bad Things Happen to good People. So in this book, the man says, God created everything, but he kind of left this world to ourselves. He's not in control here. He just left it to ourselves. Basically, that was his response to why bad things happen to good people. Actually, bad things don't happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. They may think that they're just seeing their life. Oh, this is a good person. Why did this happen to him? But they're not seeing the whole picture. They're not seeing the whole picture. This is why a lot of people don't believe in karma, because they see so many bad people, but they're not getting the reaction. You might have heard this before. This is a very common thing that we hear when we're preaching. I don't believe in karma. I've seen so many bad people. Nothing happens to them. So many good things are happening. They're getting money. They're getting prestige. They're getting this. They're getting that. So I tell them, you don't see the whole picture. You got to see the whole picture. Just like in a film, there's little clips in the film. So you got to see the whole movie. You're not seeing past lives and future lives. You're just seeing this little spot life, this little clip of their life. But everybody gets exactly what they deserve. Everybody. And I give the example, just like you may see some man running from police. Three policemen catch this man, and they're beating him. And some people may have sympathy on him. Why are you hurting him? Let him go. Don't beat him like that. But they don't see the whole picture. That he just killed 15 people in another building. So they don't see the whole picture. So we got to see the whole picture. So this is the process that we have to learn to see things properly. Krishna sees everything very clearly. He doesn't make mistakes. Just like I was speaking about this intelligence. Krishna is very intelligent. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows what he's doing. It's like there's a man here on the planet named Mr. Young. And he's apparently the most intelligent person on the planet. Out of 210 IQ. So imagine Krishna's IQ. Big. He's never made a mistake. That's intelligent. Very intelligent. Never made a mistake. So he's so intelligent that he just speaks off the top of his head the Bhagavad Gita. Maybe an hour and 20 minutes or something. Thousands of years later, big professors are trying to understand the deep meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. translated into all different languages of the world, practically. So this is Krishna. Generally, when someone writes a book, it takes a long time, sometimes years, to write a book. And even then, it doesn't even get published sometimes. Or let's say there's a bestseller book. Now, how long is that bestseller? A couple weeks? Yeah. And then a few years, it's, you know, no one even remembers it. But here's an all-time bestseller, Bhagavad Gita. And it's not that Krishna, he had to really study hard to, you know, make sure it's a good presentation because, you know, I'm God, it's got to be good, you know. Got to cram, try to make it a good presentation. No. Just off the top of his head. And in another 50,000, another 100,000 years, still the Bhagavad Gita will be studied throughout the world. So this is Krishna, very, very intelligent. It speaks for a short time, and then for thousands of years, it's being studied. Yeah. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he's a good friend of mine in America. He has this program called CHAD. Anybody heard of CHAD yet? Chapter a Day, Bhagavad Gita. Very nice. So he reads a chapter every day, Bhagavad Gita, translation. So I thought, all right, that sounds nice. I also like Bhagavad Gita very much. So every day I read Bhagavad Gita, chapter. It's very good. Highly recommended. Yeah. Add that on to your other regulations, you know, 4 regular principles and 16 rounds, chapter a day. It's a good program. Because that inspires us to continue. Prabhupada said that if my devotees read my books, they'll stay devotees. And if they distribute the books, then they'll be happy. So, hearing is very, very important. And it doesn't take long to read a chapter a day. You know, some of them are so short, it takes 5 minutes. You know, some of them take a little longer, 10, 15 minutes. But it's very nice. I told one friend of mine in Mayapur, Tara Das, about this. And he said, yes, I like this idea very much. As soon as I wake up in the morning or as soon as I bathe, I'm going to read one chapter a day. So he does that. He's very happy. It's a good way to start the day. Yeah? Chapter a day, Bhagavad Gita. So this hearing, this is what will help us to advance very quickly in devotional service. So, kaving pranam anusasataram. So, to understand Krishna is the most intelligent, he's the controller. Kaving pranam anusasataram. Anor anayang sang anusmaritya. That he's smaller than the smallest. Krishna is very, very, very small. He can take a long walk in the atom. That's how small Krishna is. And he's bigger than the biggest, Mahavishnu. You know? I mean, that's big. Universes are coming out of his pores. It's inconceivable. That's big. Big time. Yeah? Sarvasya dataram achintya rupam. That Krishna, he is the maintainer of everything. He's given us everything. Just like there's a saying. I mentioned this a couple of days ago. That Krishna, he's give, he gives, he gives, he gives, and then he forgives. Yeah. We get, and we forget. This is the problem. Krishna's given us so much, and we're forgetting. No gratitude. If we're not grateful, then we're great fools. Yeah. So we should be very grateful about what Krishna has given us. He's given us so much. Yeah. It's a beautiful temple here. Yeah. It's amazing. I started coming here in 1995. And it's amazing how it's improved so much. It's so nice. Yeah. So Krishna's given so much. He's given us food. He's given us water. He's given us air, although the air is not so clean. But anyway, we're messing that up. Was it God makes the country and man makes the city. Yeah. And we make a mess, yeah, unfortunately. So he's given us so much. And the most wonderful thing he's given us, what we should really feel grateful for, is each other. Association. Because it's by this association that we hear about Krishna, and we learn how to serve Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he gave his association. So kind. So kind. There's so many devotees in Vrindavan. They just settled, retired in Vrindavan. And people, when they're 70 years old, they retire. Who goes off on a big mission at 70 years old? Prabhupada did. Gave his association. And because of that, we're all sitting here now. Yeah. Only Krishna knows where we will be now. Yeah. The account book and Chandragupta's account book would be increasing like anything. Yeah. So many, hundreds of thousands of devotees around the world gave up their sinful activities by the purity of Srila Prabhupada, by the purity, by the sincerity of Srila Prabhupada. So we should be very grateful. And Srila Prabhupada, he said once that if you want to repay me for what I've given you, it's not possible. Because I've given you Krishna. But if you want to try, then distribute books. Because this is Srila Prabhupada's heart and soul. Because this is how people will understand, you know, who they are. This is how we can understand who we are also. This helps us. We get more realizations. You know, one of the wonderful, most wonderful aspects of book distribution is that reciprocation. Reciprocation. Everybody wants to have some reciprocation with God. Yeah. This creates faith. So this is one of the nice aspects. Our faith increases like anything. Because you may be having a hard time on book distribution, then you pray to Krishna. Actually, book distribution is all about prayer. You gotta pray. It's very good. And Queen Kunti, she prays, please put me in calamity. This is her prayer, put me in calamity. Because when calamity comes, then I think of you. And by thinking of you, I overcome birth and death. So book distribution is a little bit of a calamity. You get a lot of rejection, you don't know what, you know, people are going to say, and you maybe feel a little uneasy, uncomfortable. A little bit of a calamity. So then what? Take shelter of Krishna. It's a good opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada said that if you're desiring a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness, then advancement will be very slow. So if you go out of your way to do some austerity for the pleasure of Krishna, then Krishna is pleased and he reciprocates and he gives himself. Anyway, I'm supposed to talk about this tonight. But I can, you know, I'm the minister of book distribution, so it's got to come out anyway. So another point here in this verse is that Krishna, he is Sama. He wanted to make sure that there was even teams. So Krishna's equal towards everyone. Samo dhammastapaso, no. Samoham sarabhutesu, namedvestosinapya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all, but one who renders service to me in devotion, he's a friend, he's in me, and he comes to me. So this is Krishna's equal towards everyone. It's not like just like we have this caste thing here in India, where if you're not a Brahmana, if you're not born into a Hindu family, you can't go into certain temples, or you shouldn't be initiated. This is all. Prabhupada called this skin disease. Skin disease. Yeah. We're not the body. We're the soul within. They can't even understand this simple point that we're not the body. for the soul within. Anybody can become a great devotee of Krishna because everybody is a spiritual, everyone is part of Krishna. Like there's this verse, Suchihoi, Yadi Krishna Tyaje, Muchihoi, Suchihoi, Yadi Krishna Bhaje. That one may be born into a very clean, pakka, Brahmana family, knows all the malas and the mutras and so many things. But not a devotee of Krishna, then not Suchi, but Muchi. And someone may be born into a very Muchi family. Muchi means cobbler. But becomes a devotee of Krishna, then Suchi. And worse than a cobbler. Actually, I was just thinking this morning, about 95%, 90 or 95% of Prabhupada's disciples, they were cow eaters. Cow eaters. Yeah. Worse than cobblers. Worse than dog eaters. Cow eaters. But Prabhupada was so potent, so pure, that he turned these crows, cow eaters, so much sinful activity, into swans. That's the purity. Purity is the force. So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada. And still, there's so many devotees that were previously engaged in so many sinful activities. They're preaching the glories of Krishna all over the world. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he can turn such sinful people into devotees of Krishna. Sincere devotees of Krishna. So this is how our faith increases, also hearing about the devotees, pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that devotees understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full faith. Why? Because they're completely free of sin. So this is how to become free, or to how to develop our faith in Krishna. Sinful desires are still there. We have these impurities, so we had to pray to Krishna for freedom from these impurities. And strong attachment for Krishna. Otherwise, if see these people, they think they're free. So many people in this world, they think they're free to do as I don't. Like one person I met in the airport, he said, no, I don't want any religion. I want freedom to do as I like. I think that if you're in some religion, you have to follow some rules. You know, and these rules, they keep them bound, so they can't do what they want to do, what they think will make them happy. But what is this called? Regulative principles of freedom. Yes. So they think that they're free to do whatever they want, but when they engage in these sinful activities, they become addicted to them. And then they lose the freedom by which they chose. You know? They lose that freedom. They chose to be free to do what they want, but then they become addicted, and they lose that freedom because of that addiction. For instance, someone, let's say that someone thinks, I want to do what I want to do. He decides to take heroin. And he becomes addicted to the heroin. So then he has no more freedom. He's not free to stop. He's addicted. So he becomes like matter. Because matter has no freedom. Right? The floor on our, that we're just sitting on, it has no freedom. It's just dead matter. So a person who engages in sinful activity, becomes addicted to the sinful activity, they become like matter because there's also no freedom. No freedom. So by taking to Krishna consciousness, by practicing the regular principles of freedom, then we're free to love Krishna. We're free of the modes of material nature. This is the result of following the regular principles of freedom. Yeah. that we're free to also see Krishna, to engage in devotional service, which is the pleasure of the soul. All these material activities that they're free to engage in just keeps them more and more bound to the material world. So we're very fortunate that we're on this path of freedom of the modes of nature. On this path where we'll be free to serve Krishna and to serve his devotees, free of sinful activities, contamination. So they think that if they're born into a Brahmana family, then that's pure. And I can be initiated, I can go into temples, but people that are not, then they can't. But it's not by birth, it's not by janma, but it's by quality. The quality, that's what Krishna wants to see. I was in the airport one time distributing books, and I approached one Indian man. And he saw me with the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, "Oh, you have Bhagavad Gita, oh, very nice. I'm a Brahmana." And I could see that his character wasn't very good, so I asked him, "Do you eat meat?" He said, "Well, when I eat meat, I take off my Brahman thread, and then when I finish eating meat, I put my Brahman thread back on." This is a Brahmana, right? Kali Yuga Brahmana. So, no, it's by the quality. This is what Krishna wants to see. Samo damas tapa shantir arjam evacha. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, religiousness. These are the qualities of the Brahmana. So these are the qualities we're trying to develop, which will please Krishna. And the more we please Krishna, then Krishna, he reveals himself. On that note, is there any question or comment? I wanted to give you one more story anyway. You want to hear a story? Just to show the equality, sama, of Krishna. In South India, there was one thief who also was a devotee. He would chant Hare Krishna a lot. He had a family. He had to support his family. But he wasn't having much success. So he went to the deity and he prayed to the deity, "Please, unfortunately, I'm a thief, but I have my family, I have to support my family. Please allow me to do this activity, and I'll give you half." So he was a good devotee. Somehow he was a good devotee. Just like this, what was that big temple, Sri Rangam, I think? It was created by thieves, right? There were different types of thieves and plunderers, but they were able to make this big temple, Sri Rangam. I'm sure you all know this story. So this person was a thief also. So he's stealing, and he's getting away with it, you know, by Krishna's mercy, right? So he's stealing, maintaining his family. He's not being too extravagant, but he's maintaining. So it's becoming a problem there in the city. So people are complaining to the king. There's some thief. He's pilfering all over the city here, and we can't stop him. Can you do something? So he got many complaints. The king, he's also a good devotee. So he went to the deity and he said, "My lord, please, we have this thief in the city, and he's pilfering the city, and they're complaining. Please, can you help us catch this thief?" So now Krishna's in an awkward situation. The king's a good devotee, the thief's a good devotee. What to do? So he turned himself in. "I'm the thief." So they thought, "Oh, okay, well, that's good. You turned yourself in. We didn't have to catch you." All right, so they're beating him. And then the news got out, the thief was caught. We caught the thief. You know, don't worry anymore, we got the thief. So the thief, the real thief, heard about this. What do you mean you caught the thief? No one caught me. So he goes to where this person's being beaten. He said, who are you? And then he recognized, this is Krishna, because, you know, they're partners, you know. So he said, Krishna, why are you doing this? Well, I didn't want you to be harmed, and the king, he was upset because so much thievery going, so I didn't. No, this is not, you can't do this, Krishna. So then he started going around, I'm the real thief, this is an imposter. He's going around, I'm the real thief, this is an imposter. I don't know why he's doing it. I'm the real thief. So then news got out that, and then the king finally found out that this person saying he's the real thief. So then he goes to this thief. Why are you saying you're the real thief? He turned himself in. This is the thief. No. He's not a thief. That's Krishna. He's an imposter. He did this to protect me. And then the king becomes really confused. Yeah, what's going on here? So then he goes to the thief that was caught or was being beaten. He said, who are you? I'm Krishna. So why are you doing this? Because the thief is my devotee. You're my devotee. I didn't want my devotee to be hurt. I didn't want you to be, you know, troubled with this. So I did like this. Everybody was amazed. Yeah. It's Krishna. Yeah. It's like Lord Chaitanya also. When Haridas Thakur was being beaten, who accepted the beatings? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he doesn't like to see his devotee in distress. So he did that. So then what happened was the thief and the king, they met. They're both great devotees. So then the king told Krishna, please, my lord, you don't have to do this anymore. I'm going to give the thief half my kingdom. So he got half the kingdom. He didn't have to steal anymore. And the king, he built a temple. And the deity in this temple, it's called Sri Sri Radha Kalvar Perumal, which means the Lord of the Thief. It's still in South India. There's a temple there. The Lord of the Thief. So Krishna is so kind. He is so open to anybody can become a devotee, just like in Dwarka. Prostitutes in Dwarka. How can we understand? They're great devotees of Krishna in Dwarka. Anybody can be a devotee of Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.